Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Thank you very much for tuning in. We like to talk about competition every now and then. I think politics just in general, that's competition right there. And we like talking about competition, but also we like talking about just the way our culture is going with competition, but also the handing out of trophies. Everyone gets a trophy. And months ago, I put out a morning brief and linked to an article in the New York Times. And the headline of it was, "Losing is good for you." Now, this article went viral. It was all over the place. Some people were upset about it. Some people praised it. There were a lot of emotions, on this. And the author of that article was Ashley Merriman. She's the co-author of the book Top Dog, which is a New York Times bestseller. She also co-wrote Nurture Shock as well. And Ashley Merriman, joining me right now here on the Chad Hastie Show. Ashley, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on to the show. Appreciate you reaching out. Let's talk first about this, the article that you wrote back in 2013 for the New York Times, "Losing is Good for You. Too Many Trophies Are Hurting Our Kids." This really did go viral there, and there was a lot of passion on both sides of this argument, wasn't there?
Yeah, 40,000 Facebook shares in 24 hours. Even Stephen Colbert talked about it. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it went everywhere, but I think there are a lot of folks who agreed with you, and there's this, you know, it seems as though there was a time span where, yeah, we everyone wanted to get a trophy. Everyone wanted every kid to be a winner. Didn't want to make them feel bad. There seems to be an attitude now that says that's bad. That's not good.
Right. Well, the idea was that if we give kids constant praise, if we tell them they're smart, if we tell them they're special and they're wonderful, and we give them constant trophies, then they're not afraid to try, right? Because they know they're great, so they know they'll succeed. So they're, you know, fearless when it comes to achievement. But the research actually shows that it's the opposite, and that kids become really invested in being told they're special and wonderful and getting trophies, and they don't want to do anything to jeopardize those titles. And it's fine until they experience failure, but then they don't know how to come back from that. They don't develop resilience. So it's not about that I want kids to be losers. It's about making sure that kids understand that we all make mistakes, we all struggle, and it's about coming back from the loss. And if kids never lose, if they always get trophies, I don't know when that's going to happen.
Well, I think you see that. You see it in education. And I've had a number of college professors tell me they've gotten calls before from parents who, you know, their kid gets a B for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's freaking out. And the parent is freaking out. You know, the helicopter parent is just freaking out about it. How dare you give my kid a B? But you see it in not only in education, but you also see it in the workplace. And I think with the millennial generation, that's where it's really prevalent, and you see a lot of kids who they fail when they're out on their own. Can that be tied a little bit to this everyone gets a trophy mentality?
Well, there's no hard data on it, but a lot of researchers are saying exactly that, that they're looking and they're wondering if there's increases in narcissism. And because, you know, if you tell your kids you're wonderful, there's no need to improve, right? They're already awesome. So it doesn't lead to improvement, it leads to narcissism. So there is research that says kids who've never experienced failure are constantly told they're wonderful, expect that to continue, and why wouldn't they?
So where's the line? You know, for parents out there, where's the line between telling their kids, yeah, you're great at everything you do, you're great at everything you do, and then saying, well, maybe you're not so good at this?
Well, my praise Uber tip is be honest. If you're genuinely proud that your kid did something new and it was hard for them and it was a struggle, then say, great, I'm really proud you did that this time. That was great. But if you're trying to praise kids to manipulate their behavior, oh my gosh, you did so well on that test and you're going to do even better next time. Well, what's that really mean? Yeah. It means you didn't do well this time and we're only recognizing that you're going to do better next time.
Right.
So it's about being honest with kids. And we don't have to be positive. You don't have, I'm not saying scream or be abusive, but I run a tutoring program in inner city Los Angeles, and I'll tell my kids, you know, honey, that's just really not up to your standard of work. I think you can do better.
Right.
Well, that doesn't make kids cry. Most of the time they go, yeah, I know. I kind of just did that in the car on the way here.
Yeah. Well, and it's also good. I've heard a few stories about, you know, parents out there who, you know, they've come up to me and said, yeah, my kid got a participation trophy, gave it back. You know, said, no, that's okay. Yeah. I love hearing that. That's great. Mm-hmm. And there's actually, I'm sure you saw it, a soccer league or a football league or whatever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that said, yeah, we're not doing participation trophies anymore. We're not going to do that. Winners get trophies and no one else does. And I think that's
really
the right way
to
go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your book, Top Dog. You were the co-author of that. Tell folks what this is about, because this is a really great book that a lot of people have been picking up.
Yeah, the paperback actually just came out this past week, so it's brand new on the shelves. And it's not about identifying who is a top dog and who isn't. It's looking at the factors that help or hurt us in high-pressure, high-performance situations like competition. So we look at genetic differences and gender differences in competitiveness. It turns out that women, female financial analysts on Wall Street, are 7.3% more accurate than the men. But women still aren't on the ballot anywhere, right?
Right.
I know you guys talk about politics. It's considered a triumph that there's 25% of Congress is female right now.
Right.
In what other institution in the United States could you say, you know, we have one girl for every three boys? Isn't that an achievement? Nobody would say that, right?
But one thing you do point out is that it's because women don't run as often.
Absolutely. It turns out that the research says women are really good at calculating their odds of success. That's why they're so good on Wall Street. But because of that, they don't compete unless they know they're going to win. So women are really good at calculating their odds of success, and guys are really good at ignoring their odds of success, going, yeah, I'm not going to win, but this is an issue I believe in, and I'll have, you know, learning experience from running, and it'll set me up for better next time. Let's go for it. And women say, nope. I'm only going to run if I know I'm going to win.
What are some of the other areas that you point out in this book?
Home field advantage, a real thing. And everybody knows in sports it works. And people were talking about Russia and the Olympics. But it turns out that home field advantage is just as real in any negotiation, in any meeting. You're going to get more money in a salary negotiation if you can do it from your office than your boss's. And I tell people that, and they say, well, I never get to do it in my office. I always go to the boss. I'm like, yes, because he wants the home advantage.
It seems like common sense thing, but there is science behind all this.
Absolutely. And what it turns out, looking at, you know, the sports studies, they looked and found, you know, 37 teams who just went to a new stadium in their own hometown, right? They didn't travel. They didn't lose the team. They didn't lose the fans. But they still lost home field advantage.
Right.
And that's because home field advantage is about territorialism. It's saying it's mine and not yours.
Very interesting.
And you can do that even within 5 or 10 minutes. So if you're at a meeting, get there early and spread some papers around and make yourself at home. It gives you a stronger bargaining position.
Visiting with Ashley Merriman, co-author of Top Dog. It's a really great book. I know it's been featured all over the place. Fox and Friends has had it. Wall Street Journal and Politico has had a piece on it. I mean, the book has been all over the place. Ashley, I appreciate you coming on to the show. I assume people can pick this up, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, just about anywhere, right?
All of those places and more. And if for more information, you can go to topdogbook.com, or you can also follow me on Twitter.
All right. Ashley, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ashley Merriman, author of Top Dog. Also, you can visit the website and you can Google the morning brief and you can find her article as well. Ashley, thank you very much. Have a great day out there.